Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I want to start the broadcast today with something deeply personal. I don't like to talk about myself on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I think there are more interesting people to talk about. But through the Christian Research Institute staff and through friends, I've become aware of chatter on the internet, the gist of which is that, well, that I've walked away from the Christian faith. Amid Holy Week, I pray that those that are forwarding this notion may have an ever deeper encounter with our crucified and resurrected Lord. And may they and their loved ones be blessed and their faith strengthened. And by the way, if I have caused any to stumble, I humbly ask forgiveness. My purpose in reading this, which is a post that is now on our website, is not so much to respond to anyone, but to reassure. As I have never been more in love with my wife and family, so too I have never been more deeply in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and with His body, the church. And in that vein, let me make some statements. I confess my faith in the deity of Jesus Christ. He is the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, as the Creed tells us, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not created, of one essence with the Father, through whom all things were made. I affirm the doctrine of original sin, that sin, as Romans 5 tells us, entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. I am deeply committed to the Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 3:15, and to the Holy Scriptures, the only infallible repository of redemptive revelation. I love the address. The first is 1 Timothy chapter 3, for those that have little memory hooks in their minds. The second is 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15 and 16. I furthermore love the Holy Trinity, one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. And I am deeply grateful that the true and living God invites us to participate in the loving relationships that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have enjoyed throughout eternity. I hold to the glorious reality that Jesus rose on the third day according to the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. I am grateful to the Lord Jesus who, for us and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became man. I thank God daily that I am a new creation in Christ, for by grace I have been saved through faith, and that not of myself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest I should boast. For as we are told by Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And finally, I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. Now, obviously, there are many secondary issues genuine believers will continue to debate this side of eternity. But I have and will always champion what C.S. Lewis called mere Christianity. Put another way, in essentials, unity, non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity. Now, this is not something that I want to deal with over and over again, and therefore I have posted this on the web. I appreciate news organizations from all around the world that are contacting me to do interviews with me. I have been struggling physically for quite some time now and trying to get to the bottom of that, and simply do not have the strength to engage in that during the remainder of Holy Week. I hope in the near future I will be able to be more accessible. That is my desire. I also want to start the broadcast by thanking many, many people who are CRI support team members. Today I've been personalizing many books for those who join CRI's monthly support team. I think of David in Massachusetts. Is giving $25 a month, and Jack in Texas, $50 a month, Larry in California, $50 a month. And I could list many, many more, but I want to use the time for answering questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. First up is Sean. He's listening in Stanwood, Washington on the web. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Hank. My question is, well, a little background. I'm looking to join the Orthodox Church, and I'm leaving the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church. But my wife is not convinced by the arguments against the papacy. And I was wondering if you could provide some evidence against the supremacy of the Pope in the infallibility of the Pope.
Well, you know, I don't hold to papal infallibility. I think, as others have said, the early church fathers, the patriarchs of the church, you might say about them that 100% of these early church fathers and patriarchs are right 80% of the time. This is not original with me, but I think the quip is very useful. But I think before I talk about Roman Catholicism at all, and I haven't done this as often as I should, but I ought to underscore the fact that some of the finest apologists in the Christian faith are Roman Catholic. I think about Dr. J. Richards or Dr. Frank Beckwith. Many others immediately come to mind. The list could take the rest of the program. But these are fine, fine men in terms of life and in terms of being genuine believers and defenders of the faith. The other thing I think that's important to recognize is that Roman Catholicism, like Orthodoxy, is not monolithic. And I think that is often lost in the discussion about either one of them. And of course, you could say that about Lutherans as well. I mean, you have the Missouri Synod Lutherans, you have the ELC. There are many varieties of Lutherans, and there are many varieties of Reformed. I personally grew up in the Christian Reformed Church. And given that there are certain differences that we keep in mind, what I have continued to forward on the broadcast is not meant to be demeaning. It is meant to simply forthrightly communicate major differences, and you mentioned one of them. I don't think that when the Pope speaks ex cathedra that he's infallible. Many Catholics do. When the Pope spoke from St. Peter's chair and defined the Immaculate Conception, Orthodox people, of course, recoiled from that. I don't hold to purgatory. But I also think that it is wise for us to be charitable. In other words, Jesus said, you know, before we look at the speck in someone else's eye, let's look at the beam in our own eye. And you think about evangelical Christians, wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord, many of whom are dear friends of mine. They will hold that there's going to be a millennial temple and Jesus is going to preside over that temple, and the sacrifices that he presides over are going to be efficacious for ceremonial uncleanness. Well, by logical extension, that seems to me to deny the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross. But I think it would be less than charitable to draw everything out to its logical extension. And so I think in these discussions, there has to be, you know, light instead of heat. There has to be a collegiality that oftentimes is missing. And I will say, to the extent that I have not been humble and contrite in my own remarks, I would seek forgiveness as well. So what's the bottom line for me? The bottom line for me is that the Roman Catholic Church, and this is not a unique statement, it's something that I have said for many, many years, I think it is a true church. I think it has significant error, which of course, as I just mentioned, could be said about other bodies of believers. But we also have to remember the incredible work that the Roman Catholic Church has done on common cause issues like abortion. Thank God for their unfailing stand in this regard. So if I were talking to your wife, first of all, I'd do it with gentleness and with respect. I wouldn't force anything upon your wife, but if you have the kind of relationship that my wife and I enjoy, you know, we can talk about these things. And I think the big thing you want to get straight in your conversation is that you're on the same page when it comes to essentials. Now, when I just made my statement at the beginning of the broadcast, that's what I attempted to do. I attempted to talk about essentials like the deity of Jesus Christ, original sin, the canon and the church, the Trinity and the resurrection, the incarnation and the fact that we are, as Paul puts it, new creations in Christ, and then the fact that Jesus Christ will come again. How the details unfold, there are discussions about that amongst Christians, but that's something we can debate vigorously. Iron sharpens iron. And so I've been very, very blessed by so many friends. I just thinking today, three or four dear friends who have huge churches and are some of the godliest, wisest men I have ever known called me just to encourage me and pray for me. And I thought, wow, what a beautiful privilege they have given to me. So again, what am I saying? I'm simply saying that perhaps we need to reinforce over and over again those words in 1 Peter 3:15. Let's do what we do with meekness and humility. You know, it's so easy sometimes, particularly in my case, I have been doing a show for many, many years, and you learn lots of stuff. And you learn how to turn the table and how to win the argument, but that's really not the goal. The goal is always to win a person. And again, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. I'm going to leave it at that. So many people hanging on. We are coming up to station break. I do want to remind people that for those who join CRI's monthly support team, we have a special edition of the Christian Research Journal on its way to you. And so our way of simply saying thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. I simply could not do what I do here and around the world without you. And so I'm always grateful for those that say, I'm praying for you, and certainly deeply appreciative of those who support the ministry. And as I mentioned earlier, so many who have joined CRI's monthly support team. Well, we're coming to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And do remember the statement that I just communicated to you at the opening of the broadcast, you can find on the web at equip.org. I hope it's helpful, particularly to those who might be stumbled by the allegation that I have walked away from the Christian faith. I most certainly have not. And we'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please don't touch that dial.
In his prophetic book, The Abolition of Man, C.S. Lewis forewarned that silencing moral language, subduing moral emotions, and subjecting humanity to moral and eugenic manipulations would bring disaster and death. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal looks at Lewis's warnings with a view toward the solution of not merely rejecting moral subjectivism, but also learning to speak and feel the truth of the natural moral law in love. Don't miss Adam C. Peltzer's article, The Abolition of Man, today in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it, and to love the right things in the right way. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. Three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it. Other topics include how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Most of us Westerners do not even think about a cow or chicken being slaughtered as we eat a steak or chicken sandwich. Taking the life of an animal can be unsettling, and in response, various religions idealize a vegetarian diet. To support their view, some claim that certain texts from the Old Testament, especially Isaiah, support this vision. Well, does Isaiah idealize vegetarianism? Professor Andrew T. Abernathy answers that question in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I do remember for your support of the Ministry of the Christian Research Journal, a brand new edition of the journal on its way to you. In this, I've been talking about mere Christianity, essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, all things charity. Now, this edition of the Christian Research Journal has a couple of fantastic articles on C.S. Lewis, particularly his epic work, The Abolition of Man, and how that applies to the situation that we find ourselves in today. Again, the Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine. You can get your copy for your support by simply logging on to equip.org or writing me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to John in New Jersey. He's listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. It's nice to hear about you and your wife. It's good stuff.
Thank you.
I want to ask you, my question is about Jewish people and the rejection of Christ. I get, when Christ and, the whole political thing back when he was with his ministry. But, I just don't get, everything that is written in the Old Testament and the things that Christ did when he was alive. And I guess I ask you this because I have a stepdad who's Jewish and, he just totally just says, I just don't believe that. And that's pretty much it. So I just wanted to know what your thoughts were about, Jews today rejecting Jesus.
Yeah, I don't think we have to classify it as Jews rejecting Jesus, but people in general rejecting Jesus. And the reason this happens is because not the intellect being deficient, but rather the will. People do not want to live within the parameters that God sets forth for them to live within. They don't want to be participants in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only one who can walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy, and thus they reject him as Messiah. Now, is there any good reason for doing that? Well, ultimately, as Jesus himself put it, light came into darkness, and therefore there is no good reason. The only reason being that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So what we have is the light of creation. We have a knowledge of the triadic one written on the tablet of our consciousness. And if we respond to the light we have been given, we can receive more light. I've quoted Pascal in this regard many times. God dwells in enough light, so if you want to find him, you will. And he dwells in enough darkness, so if you do not want to find him, you won't. So again, it is a matter of the will. Now, there are those, and certainly many of my detractors do not believe in faith alone, and that's what has to be exercised here, but they believe in regeneration alone, which is to say that God must first regenerate, whether Jew or Gentile, must regenerate a person, and once that person is regenerated, then they can have an active faith to seek after God. They can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. And so this person, in their view, would be classified as a person that can't respond, perhaps because God did not give them the ears to be able to respond. Just as a cow can't fly, they cannot respond. Only those who have been regenerated can respond. And I certainly would not hold that position. I would hold the position that you sort of alluded to in the prologue to your question, which is very akin to Jesus talking to those who are persecuting him and saying, how often I would have longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. We have ample opportunity, whether we live in the East or the West, the ethnic background that we have, whatever that is, we have an opportunity to respond to the grace of God, which woos all of us. We either reject it or respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Tom in Dallas, Texas. He is listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tom.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I just want to thank you for taking my call and all that you do. My question is, I need some clarification as to why the Jews will build the temple on the Temple Mount during the tribulation. And I've been hearing for years that they are preparing for that by getting the clothes, all the temple stuff ready for that. What would be the purpose of doing that? Why don't they do it today? Why does it have to be during that? Because that's, explain that, clarify on that, please.
Well, there is no purpose to it whatsoever, because Christ has come. So we no longer need a temple. We no longer need priest and sacrifice. The ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. So when we have the one who is the crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue, who did what we could not do, we no longer go back to temple, priest, and sacrifice, because in doing that, as Hebrews puts it, we are trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So no need for luminous limestone, no need for glistening gold when Jesus Christ has come. The idea that there's going to be a third temple and even a fourth temple is something that is ad hoc. Whether a temple is built or not, the reality is it is an abomination to go back to the temple, priest, and the sacrifice in light of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, there are many within the Protestant tradition that are teaching their people that there is a millennial temple, and that millennial temple is a temple presided over by Jesus Christ, and the sacrifices in the millennial temple are efficacious for ceremonial uncleanness. In other words, they atone for sin. And thus, in that, drawn to its logical conclusion, they deny the sufficiency of Christ's atonement upon the cross. Again, this is a very serious matter. Christ paid it all. All to him I owe. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to David next. He's listening in Arkansas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, David.
Hello, Hank. And to quote your friend earlier, I'm calling because I love you and I trust you. And just was really hurt by the stuff I saw on the internet today. My question is, I'd like for you to clarify for me the difference, basic differences, fundamental differences, say, between the Eastern Orthodox faith and Catholicism, Roman Catholicism.
You know, I mentioned this on yesterday's broadcast in light of what I've written in a book called The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. So let me give you just a brief snippet in this regard. The first thing I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast is that Roman Catholicism forwards the notion that in the intermediate state after death, there are certain sins that can be atoned for by way of temporal punishment and purgatory. Orthodoxy considers the notion of purgation, which was defined by the Council of Florence in the 15th century and then defended by the Council of Trent, to be a late innovation lacking precedent in both Scripture and the teachings of the Fathers. Secondly, Roman Catholicism and Orthodoxy are divided on the validity of papal infallibility. In fact, that's where the problem really arose. You have the pontiff, as it were, pontificating from Rome, with respect to what was hammered out in the seven ecumenical councils, and Orthodoxy saw a real problem with that. They resisted unilateral dogmatization, and from that Orthodox perspective, papal infallibility had no basis in the creeds, the confessions, the historic Christian faith, and thus was anathema. A third thing I think I mentioned yesterday was that Orthodox considers the Immaculate Conception, defined by Pope Pius IX, as an unwarranted innovation. But there's much more that could be said. For example, whatever someone wants to say about sola scriptura, the reality is pitting oral tradition against a written tradition was unheard of for the first 1,500 years of church history. In fact, what precipitated this aspect of the 16th century Reformation was the corruption that those like Martin Luther saw within the Church of Rome in the medieval context. And one of these corruptions is another dividing point, which is, according to Luther, the idea that Scripture could be interpreted solely through the magisterium, in other words, solely through the Pope and the bishops. And that promoted the notion that oral and written repositories were inaccessible to the person in the pew, in other words, to the average layperson. And within that context, Roman Catholics and Protestants began to view the oral and written repositories of the faith once delivered to the saints as distinct, as separate sources of Christian faith and practice. Now, the Orthodox don't engage the debate on this level or on these terms. Instead, they see the church as the pillar and the ground of truth. Why? Because in accord with 1 Timothy 3:15, we are told that very thing. And furthermore, why trust a 16th century Latin speaker over the interpretation of a 1st or 2nd century speaker of secular Koine Greek? I mean, this is one of the reasons that I'm excited about my wife and some of our children having expressed such fervent interest in the Greek language. Because once you know secular Koine Greek, you pass all translational problems because now you're reading the Bible in its original form. So because the church is the body of Christ, in Orthodoxy it is seen to be instrumental in dispensing the precious grace of the Holy Spirit. So again, this is another distinction between the Western Church and the Eastern Church. Obviously, much more could be said. And quite frankly, I don't consider myself an expert. I've only been studying this for 2 or 3 years. I didn't even dare speak out on eschatology until I'd studied it for 15 years, until I'd taken the time to memorize portions of the Olivet Discourse, whether it comes through the Synoptic Gospels or John's expanded Olivet Discourse in the Book of Revelation. So having only spent a mere 2.5 or 3 years on this subject, I am not the expert. There are people that are far more adept at talking about these things than I am, but I am learning, and at some point the treasure chest will be part of my heart and soul, and I'll be able to communicate with a whole lot more instruction. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it, and to love the right things in the right way. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Paul and Ethel Gould share 3 ways they have taught their kids apologetics effectively without them even knowing it. Don't miss 3 ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it, and historical amnesia means certain death when moral truth is forgotten. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal examines C.S. Lewis's prophetic warning that the growing acceptance of moral subjectivism and the moral skepticism it breeds would lead to a pernicious moral and eugenic manipulation of humanity. If we are to forestall the nightmarish consequences of the death of truth, followers of Christ must reject ignorance and false knowledge and deliberately learn to speak and feel the truth of the natural moral law in love. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. C.S. Lewis once said, "Good philosophy must exist, if for no other reason because bad philosophy needs to be answered." These words are more relevant than ever in our post-truth culture, which is unable to diagnose sin for lack of a Christian worldview. The article, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, by Donald T. Williams, shows why throwing down our weapons is betrayal. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day. It comes from Ephesians chapter 2, and these are the immortal words of the Apostle Paul. I thought about this, actually, just a few moments ago. I was thinking about what will I do for the quote of the day, and in light of some of the questions that I've been getting on the Bible Answer Man broadcast for the last couple of days and some of the nonsense circulating on the internet by people that oftentimes do not even know how to defend their own paradigms, and yet with great pride take on others, I thought it would be good to go back and just underscore what I believe. This is what the infallible repository of redemptive revelation has to say about faith and works. The Apostle Paul says, and the quote of the day, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Again, the quote of the day comes from the Apostle Paul, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Worth memorizing, I suppose. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Monique, listening in Greensboro, North Carolina. WTRU. Hi, Monique.
Hi, Hank. And thank you again always for everything that you are. My question is, I know personally there's quite a few things throughout the Scripture, but is there a particular or maybe one that we can kind of point the mainstream people to about questioning who is with the faith and who is not with the faith? And I guess, you know, I have some level of irritation with it, not because people want to make sure, you know, you still are who you say you are, but, you know, it seems to me throughout Scripture, Paul, when he talks about Hymenaeus and Phygellus and Alexander the coppersmith, I think is the only one he says he did much harm and didn't go into enough about, well, what did he do other than withstanding, you know, words and things like that. But is there not a specific scripture that we can just, as Christians, really just start getting in the Word and we can see for ourselves, you know, if the people are listening to you, what are you teaching? What are you saying? What are you not saying? Is that, you know, is there not something that we can point to in the Scripture that says, here's how you know if this person has left the faith? My goodness. Instead of chasing it down. I mean, I'm not, you know, if you're a friend, you'd ask if you heard that, I guess. But instead of trying to chase it down or get them to qualify it, can we not just see it?
Yeah, I mean, what Paul says is, even from among your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after themselves. So be on your guard. Remember, for 3 years I never stopped warning each one of you night and day with tears. Now, in the interest of what I have said for 30 years, I hold to mere Christianity. And that, in essence, means that I hold to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. There are secondary issues that I debate in a collegial fashion. For example, I'm certainly not a dispensationalist. I do not believe that God has two distinct people with two distinct plans, necessitating two distinct phases of the second coming, a secret coming followed by a second coming. However, I don't doubt for a moment that many of my dispensational friends are true followers of Jesus Christ. Now, do I think that error has significance? I do, and that's why I wrote about it. I wrote about it because I think if you study the Scriptures, if you follow the oral traditions that have been passed on in the Old Testament and the New Testament, what you find out is that it is very, very clear that the essentials of the historic Christian faith are always inviolate, which is to say, the very doctrines that form the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults, I think, are very simple, at least to apprehend. Theologians can drown in the profundity, but they're fairly simple to apprehend. Essential Christian doctrine is the North Star by which the course of Christianity is set. And as the North Star is an unchanging reference point by which sailors safely guided their ships, so essential Christian doctrine has safely guided the church through doctrinal storms that have sought to sink it. One of the things I did on the show yesterday is quote the Nicene Creed, which is very, very precious to me. It codifies the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Now, I don't think that the Nicene Creed is inspired in the same sense as Scripture, but it is a creed that has been passed along through the generations, and it squares with what the Scriptures teach. And I would say as well that essential Christian doctrine is the foundation on which the gospel of Jesus Christ rests from his deity to the certainty that he will appear a second time to judge the living and the dead. Essential Christian doctrine is foundational to the gospel. You think about this, all of the religions, they compromise, they confuse, they contradict these essentials. So, for example, Islam. I just wrote a book about that. It's going to be out October 10th this year. But Muslims dogmatically denounce the doctrine of Christ's unique deity. They call it the unforgivable sin, shirk. They affirm the sinlessness of Christ, but they deny his sacrifice on the cross, and they deny his subsequent resurrection as the only hope of salvation, the only hope of salvation, the sola hope of salvation. So what I've done is I've taken the essentials of the historic Christian faith, and I've codified those essentials around the acronym doctrine. The first letter D, and I won't go through all the letters, but the flip chart is available through the ministry, but the D stands for the deity of Christ, and the E stands for eschatology. Now, what's interesting about eschatology is it's a great example of both essential and secondary matters. It is essential to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will appear a second time. The timing of the tribulation, the meaning of the millennium, is something that we can debate vigorously. We don't have to divide about. So I think this is one of those areas where we can look at essential Christian doctrine and say there is an essential to eschatology and there are secondary issues as well. But I think we ought to be very familiar with what the Bible teaches with respect to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And then we can see, by contrast, contrast being the mother of clarity, how the cults and the world religions and those who have walked away from the faith, how they have deviated. And I think this is what I've attempted to do is lay out the essentials, lay out the straight stick of Scripture so that you can contrast the crooked stick of false doctrine. Now, as far as I'm concerned, speaking about me personally and things that have been said about me, I'm no longer a Christian, I've walked away from the faith. This is, read my books, judge me on a body of work of over 30 years, and see if what I have written and what I believe holds true to what God has written, because my books are not infallible. God's Word, however, is the test by which you can know whether what I have said is true or is false. So I have a body of work out there. Again, it's a body of work written over many, many, many years, published by evangelical publishing houses, and I think to now all of a sudden question whether I believe certain essentials of the Christian faith is interesting, particularly when these kinds of questions come from men like Rodney Howard Brown, as I indicated at the opening of the show.
Yeah, that's fair. And to that, so that everyone, when the scripture, and I can't think of the gospel it's in, but when he says, Jesus says, I will shorten the days for the very elect of God's sake so that we're not deceived. That's kind of different, but it speaks to about the whole thing about being deceived, period. Can you answer also, if you have time, what he specifically means, I guess, what that means, not what he means by it, because he said what he meant by it. He said he'd shorten the days. But how can we be deceived in another way? Is that just something altogether different, like with the Antichrist itself, the spirit of Antichrist itself, or is that speaking to just flat-out deception, which this whole assault against you, I think, would be, to me, a deception?
Yeah, and Paul in this regard says, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what has been preached to you, let him be accursed. So again, we have to test the sources to see if they are from God. So if an angel appears and starts giving you a vision altered from the vision that God has already given us, again, let him be accursed. So what happened in Scripture? I was in Greece last year, and I was in Berea, and I remembered the words of the Apostle Paul. The Bereans were counted as being more noble than the Thessalonians. Why? Because daily they examined the Scriptures to see if these things were so. So test all things, hold fast to that which is good.
God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you. God, thank you so much for your ministry, for continuing. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit that guides you and how to respond. I don't think I would respond as graciously, honestly, when things are clearly lined out in the Scripture, when people begin to question in that spirit of kind of difference. But thank you so much again. God bless you in everything you do. Praise God for your ministry. I pray you people have ears to hear the truth.
Thank you, Monique. I really appreciate your call. Unfortunately, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man Broadcast. I have an absolutely full board, but I have no energy. So I gotta take care of my physical energy, and I'm praying that the precious Lord Jesus Christ, who I love with all my heart, will restore my strength and bless this ministry. This ministry has been a ministry that has been impacting the lives of people around the world. And of course, it's only because people stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. There are so many people that are fixated on all the right statements that they've learned. And those things are important. But I've seen people in China who had very little knowledge, but they had life. And so life and truth really do matter. And I, again, thank those who stand with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. My apologies for all those hanging on. Hope I'll have an opportunity to speak to you tomorrow.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. C.S. Lewis was the greatest apologist of the 20th century, and he continues to serve as a practical role model today for winsome Christian apologetics. Donald T. Williams perceptively identifies several lessons we can learn from observing Lewis's approach. Other topics include the abolition of man today, three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it, how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI.
7000 CRI, or visit equip.org.